Good morning. It's great to be back with you all here this morning. I definitely missed you all this past week. I did have a wonderful trip in New Jersey, but it's always good to be home in Sweet Springs, gathering together with my brothers and sisters in Christ here. It's always good when we gather together and to encourage one another and to join with one another in worship of our great God together. And we do so again this morning, and we start off with our first hymn, number 790 in the hymnal. We sing verses 1 through 3 and 5. Would you please stand as you're able? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. but for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Well, beloved in the Lord, Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia. Thank you. with you. Let us pray. Blessed Lord, since you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated as we get to hear from God's Word. The Old Testament reading for this third Sunday after Pentecost comes from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 17. Thus says the Lord God, I myself will take a sprig from the lofty top of the cedar and will set it out. I will break off from the topmost of its young twigs a tender one, and I myself will plant it on a high and lofty mountain. On the mountain height of Israel will I plant it, that it may bear branches and produce fruit and become a noble cedar. And under it will dwell every kind of bird. In the shade of its branches, birds of every sort will nest. And all the trees of the field shall know that I am the Lord. I bring low the high tree, and make high the low tree, dry up the green tree, and make the dry tree flourish. I am the Lord, I have spoken, and I will do it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle reading comes from the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 5. We know that if the tent, which is our earthly home, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling, if indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked. But while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. But what we are is known to God, and I hope it is known also to your conscience. We are not condemning ourselves to you again, but giving you cause to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast about outward appearance and not about what is in the heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the fourth chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. And he said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants, and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We confess the Christian faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You can be seated. Well, as many of you are aware, this past week I flew back from New Jersey. And I don't know what it is about flying, but for whatever reason, it's always an unsettling activity. Even though it's statistically the safest way to travel, for whatever reason though, for many people, it's still unnerving. There's just something to the idea of soon being 33,000 feet in the air and in the hands of a total stranger that often makes the average person worry. And so for a lot of people, to walk onto the plane is to be confronted with your own mortality. They begin thinking about life and death itself. And of course, all of that is just natural. It's our biological instinct that puts that worry in us. We are hardwired to worry about death and to hide from its grip. And honestly, that instinct is a wonderful thing. For from the beginning, it was not destined for man to die. Of course, we should reject death because our bodies were not created for it. From the beginning, men and women rather lived without fear of death. They lived without even its concept. Instead, they lived in perfection and in bliss. For truly did God look upon his creation and say that everything was very good. In my own mind, however, as I walked onto the plane, I began thinking about my own mortality, and I did so through the lens of our epistle reading this morning. For it's in verse 8 that Paul says, "I would rather be away from the body and be at home with the Lord." In fact, that echoes what Paul says elsewhere, saying, "I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain is more necessary on your account, for that means more fruitful labor." In essence, Paul is struggling between the desire to die and leave this fallen and corrupted world behind, full of pain, compared to his desire to live and serve his God. You can imagine Paul having this internal dialogue as he wrestles within himself. His mind and heart are being pulled in opposite directions. Do I wish to continue living in this world, or do I desire to depart? In one sense, I want to stay on earth as God's servant, and yet in another sense, I want to leave this fallen world and to be present with our loving and gracious Lord. Over the years, I've heard many people express strong opinions favoring one of those positions over the other. Many Christians even hold strongly to the idea that death is a victory and that we should welcome and accept it. It seems that people either view dying and going to God's presence as victory and triumph, or they think of it as sorrow and pain. And on the outset, I don't think either position is inherently bad or nor better than the other. For as we just saw, even Paul himself was hard-pressed between the two. The greatest of theologians after Christ Jesus himself likewise struggled to make that choice. For even Paul struggled to balance his feelings between the two. Do I desire to live on earth or to be present with the Lord? And so this morning, we are going to dive into Paul's internal struggle. Should Christians and you and I desire to die and leave this fallen world behind, that is to depart and immediately go to Christ's presence, Or should we desire to stay on earth and happily live out the length of our days? As we seek to answer these questions, though, we'll come to realize that there are both good and bad reasons for each position. There's both good and bad reasons for why Christians should welcome death, and there's good and bad reasons for why Christians should reject it. And this morning we are going to look at each one. For in fact, there are many reasons why it's wrong for Christians to prefer staying on the earth than for them to go and be with Christ. And the first reason is simply when the Christian has grown so worldly. Rather than looking forward to the world to come and to Christ's return, there are many Christians who would prefer that would happen much, much later. There are a lot of carnal Christians who'd seem to say that they're simply too busy for Christ to come back. We have it in the liturgy of our Lord's Supper that we say, as long as we eat this body and drink this blood, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes, to which the congregation then says, Amen, come, Lord Jesus. And yet, how rarely do we actually think about those words? And again, do we pray in the Lord's Prayer, Thy kingdom come? And yet, how rarely do we actually pray that petition earnestly? We rather seem to pray it without compassion and without conviction. As Christians, we deceive ourselves thinking that we are too busy for Christ to come back again. In fact, we're too busy to die. We don't look forward to the coming kingdom, and we don't desire to depart and be with the Lord. For instead, we had made plans for our Father's Day weekend. We have trips on our calendars. Christ can't come yet because I still need to get married and have kids, or I still need to retire and enjoy my wealth and to relax. Christ can't come because I need to enjoy my grandkids. Christ can't come back, we say, because we are too busy. We often don't look forward to leaving this world behind because there is just so much stuff to indulge in. Though our words are often, come quickly, Lord Jesus, our hearts say, come tomorrow or come later. The carnal Christian we see has these many strings that seem to just tie us down to earth. And like a tethered balloon, we're unable to mount above our worldly desires and to seek after heavenly things. And yet the world was never meant to fill the believer's soul. We were never meant to look to the things of this world for joy, for comfort, or for absolute peace. For all good things, we're told, comes from God, who created and loved us with an everlasting love. And then other bad reasons to not want to depart and be with the Lord is in essence due to a lack of faith. Perhaps it's a fear of dying and of what's to come. It may be a fear of death's pains and groans, or perhaps it's a fear that death should be our end. But dear friends, death is a stingless enemy, and it's but a shadow that has no power. Even those who have dependence can be at peace when by God's sovereign plan, death draws near their home. For God has promised, saying, leave your fatherless children, I will keep them alive. Your widows also can trust in me. He who feeds the birds and clothes the lilies can feed and care for the orphaned children, for all of our dependents. All who trust in him shall find life and provision from the Lord all of their days. There's no fear of death when Jesus has conquered the grave and he has triumphed over the enemy. And there's no fear of the end when Jesus has taken our sins on the cross and he has buried them in the grave. And there's no fear of what's to come when Christ is preparing an eternal paradise for you. And so we see neither worldly pleasures nor a lack of faith or any reason for why the Christian should desire to stay tethered to this world. For we are to love and cherish heaven's bread more than earth's apparent riches. And yet, however, there are still good reasons for why us Christians should desire to stay. For indeed, there is always work to be done. Faithful workers are needed for a fruitful harvest. The harvest is plentiful, God says, but the laborers are few. The harvest is ripe before us. How can the Christian desire anything but to stay in this service? There's certainly a time coming when you may rest, but today is a day for us to win men's souls for Christ. The unbelieving world perishes without the church on earth. For it's through God's people that the gospel is proclaimed and that life and salvation comes upon man. The church and the means of grace are the ways in which God's kingdom expands and conquers over the kingdoms of darkness. A good reason for why Christians should not seek after death is because there is always that work to be done. The battle is not over, and we should rather stay a little longer and fight the good fight. Finish the race and bring honor and glory to our Lord and King. There will be time for rest and eternal joys, but today let us work while it is still day, and while the good Lord continues to give us breath. Well, dear friends, we have so far seen the good and bad reasons for why Christians may desire to stay in this fallen world. But in the same way, there are both good and bad reasons for why they should desire to leave this world behind. There's good and bad reasons for us to welcome the shedding of these fallen bodies and to otherwise eagerly await for Christ's return. Although it's good for God's children to long for a heavenly home, it's not good, however, if their reasoning is so that they just wouldn't have to work for God's kingdom. For from the beginning, men and women were created to work. In Eden, they worked by tending the garden. So shall we work in heaven, and so is it true now. We shouldn't long to enter our eternal Sabbath just to avoid the work given us today. For we are God's workmanship, Paul says, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. There are many who would rather than suffering for Christ's cause and serving him through thick and thin, would rather turn from the battle and flee. At the prospect of pain and hurt, many say that they would rather leave the battle and go home. And when confronted by the enemy, they're found turning to the captain saying, "Let me go home." There are many who would rather flee to heaven's gate than to stay and serve their neighbors who desperately need their love and service. Many would rather flee to paradise than stand and fight for God's kingdom and for the eternal salvation of many. As Jesus once said, "If possible, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." And yet many of us say ourselves, "Let this cup pass from me, or otherwise, let me pass from the cup." It's a bad reason to want to go to heaven just to escape the trials of life when Christ has called us to them. The proper attitude of God's servant is rather than to say, "I would be glad to be rid of the pain, but I will be content to bear it if that is God's will for me." For it brings much glory, honor, and praise to our King when those who suffer bear it patiently and faithfully. It brings great glory to the Almighty when God's people can go through pain and declare that your grace and you alone, O God, are enough. And when in the midst of trials, we are able to say, your mercies sustain me, and your love is enough. But even with this need for Christians to stay and fight the good fight, and to finish the race, it's still good when we long to go to heaven. For it is good to shed these fallen and corrupt bodies. To long for God's presence and perfection is only natural. We are a new creation, Paul says. The old is gone and the new has come. How good is it for the child of God to shed the corrupt nature that daily fights against our flesh? The old Adam within us fights for our hearts and minds to keep them captive under the curse of sin. And to think that we will one day be rid of this spot and wrinkle, and to be freed from sin and evil, it's only natural for us to say, "Come, Lord Jesus." Having received a foretaste of God's mercies, having received the forgiveness of sins accomplished for us on the cross, it would be strange to desire anything but the presence of God. Having received his graces and mercies, it's only natural to long for more and to long for its total fulfillment. Christ is our all in all. And although we have plenty of work to do, we should desire to stay and do our duty as the battle rages on. But we do so with a second longing in our heart, that is to depart and be with the Lord, to gaze upon his beauty, and to serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness forevermore. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. At this time, we sing our next hymn. Would you please stand and join me in prayer? Holy Father, we come before you with thanksgiving and praise, and we glorify you for all your loving kindness that you have lavished upon us. As you continue to give us life and breath, lead us to glorify you in all that we say and do. As you continue to sustain life in us, lead us to live out our days devoted to your kingdom and to the well-being of our neighbors. And gracious Father, though difficult times make us long for Christ's return, lead us to never shy away from our work that you have called us to. May we honor your name before the world, and may we be as a city on a hill. Through your Spirit, may we be led to so let our light shine before others, that they may see our good works and glorify you in heaven. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And God of grace, though we have work to do today, lead us to keep you and your promises in the forefront of our minds. Throughout all situations, in both good times and bad, lead us to long for your presence. Lead us to long for righteousness and for the day that we will see you face to face. Give us peace through difficult times, and in pleasant times, lead us to long for spiritual things until we find our rest in you alone. Work in our hearts to let go of things unprofitable, and rather to cling more and more unto you and the things above. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And merciful Lord, you have great compassion upon us. You've forgiven us our sins, and you've worked in us salvation through your Spirit. As you continue to call people to repentance and to make them new creations, lead us to so live by this truth. Continue to forgive us our sins, and give us the strength to live according to the new nature within us. Help us to hate sin and evil, and to cling to everything that is true, perfect, and good. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And God of life and compassion, you have great mercy upon us, and we pray that you would come quickly to work in the hearts and minds of your servants who are struggling with life's trials. We ask that you would work comfort in the hearts of those affected by the storm on Friday night. We pray for the Meyer family and for all who have experienced property damage. Bring your church together that we may help and support those around us who are in need. We thank you for keeping your people safe another day so that they may continue their work on earth. And we pray further for the Cuff family, especially for Brittany Boland, as she is in the hospital with pregnancy complications. We ask, we lift Brittany and baby into your care. Gracious Lord, trusting that you are our good Father, and you have good plans for all who are called by you. Give mom and grandparents and the family peace as she has her stay in the hospital. Continue to nourish and support the growth of the baby in the womb, and be with the nurses as they tend to their care. And further, do we pray for the family and friends of Loretta Renison, who passed away yesterday morning. And gracious Lord, during this difficult time, guide the family to find peace from your word. Lead them to find hope in you and in the knowledge that you are making all things new. Comfort your people with the understanding that in you we shall be united again with all who pass away in the faith. For where you are, there we will be also. Help the family to grieve in this hope, and surround them with loving friends to support them, and give them the words to say that will lead to a building of one another up. Lord, in your mercy. For these and for all our needs of body and soul, we ask of you, gracious Father, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. And taught by our Lord and trusting in his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Would you receive the blessing of our Lord? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen. You may be seated for our departing hymn.